Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you. I think you will find this interesting and good instructions. Father, we thank you. We bless you for this day. We thank you for giving us wisdom every day. We thank you for your angels being around about us to protect us. We thank you for the angels going forth to war against the wicked and to bring down the wicked. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you that we already know the end of this story. We have seen it in the Bible. Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus. All right. This is going to be interesting, I think. It's really all about identifying Judas. According to what we've been receiving, we're very close to a great blessing for the sanctified and great trouble for the rest. And of course, we know that these troubles come in order to destroy idols, bring people to a revelation of their need of the kingdom and of the word of God, etc., etc. Well, this story of Judas and his betrayal parallels the history of many crucifixions of the godly in this way. Remember, Judas was hidden in the midst of the body until he ate the sop, which the Lord told me represented the son of perdition. That's right. And, of course, this is when Satan entered into him in his betrayal. You can see this in our book, Hidden Manna. There's a chapter on the son of perdition that is very, very interesting. These revelations that we received almost all at the same time are anonymous because those in the faction always abuse the messengers, as it is throughout the word. They do warfare against them. They lie, slander them, and so on and so forth. So we decided that the Lord wanted to keep these anonymous. Here's a dream. Judas was standing to my right, and as he talked, I knew he had a spirit of seduction. Yes, all Judases have a spirit of seduction. It was like it was affecting me, and as I woke up, I knew it was not right. And here's a word of knowledge that we received about the same time. When I heard Judas talking, I heard, "He seduceth the hearts of the men." Then I thought of Absalom, 2 Samuel 15 and 6. On this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment, for so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Very interesting. Here's another dream. In the dream, I was standing in a flea market in front of a tattoo booth. And the comment was, flea markets often offer stuff for cheap. These things are usually not of a high price or of a great value. Tattoos represent receiving the mark of the beast in our flesh, like the heathen do. Leviticus 19 and 28, "You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord." Okay. Then I noticed Judas walking up to the booth from my right. He was wearing a bright orange t-shirt. Orange is the color of warning and danger, they commented. He is smiling as he approaches his old friend that owned the tattoo booth. And the comment that they gave was, we shouldn't have any affinity for our past and our old lives. True. Everything has to be done by the renewed mind, because then you're following the Spirit of God. The renewed mind, of course, is the Word of God. Those that depart from the Word of God, they're not going where you're going. I sensed in the dream that Judas was a danger to himself and to me. Well, that's historic, isn't it? And me here, I believe the Lord showed us clearly, represents the UBM body. As he greeted me and turned to shake the old man's hand, that's symbolical right there, shaking the old man's hand, agreement, you know, with the old man. And of course, we know the old man is the enemy, right? And the comment was, maintaining old associations or connections to factious brethren from the past, or having pity on them in our minds, makes us a danger to a body who desires sanctification. Well, this is true. That was dead on. Judas took his, you know, let me back up and say something about this. We're in school learning about this, because I want to tell you, the whole body of Christ is getting ready to go through this. Right now, mostly it is the man, child, and the bride who are going through this. But they are in training to be able to help the body of Christ who is going through this in the tribulation. So you think that this is not important? I'm telling you, it's important. And it's important because God is speaking in dreams and prophecies and visions about it now, so that in the times to come, we will be able to help others, and others will see the light through these revelations too. So Judas is obviously a danger to the body. Judas has always tried to blend in, you know, because, by the way, they always have rejection. So they want to blend in. They want to be acceptable. And they get mad at you if you don't accept some of their evil ways, you know. So going on, Judas took his shirt off to show off the previous tattoo that the, quote, old man, unquote, had put on his back. And I mean, putting on your back, Jesus talked about those that put burdens on your back, right? It's talking about a burden, something that overwhelms you. And those burdens, by the way, were put on the backs of people by the Pharisees, according to Jesus. Right? They said his skin was very tan, and I could see three or four sentences written in a foreign language in between his shoulder blades. Well, the old man is a foreigner, and if he is ruling in you, you are a foreigner. he's a foreigner who is a burden to us all. I couldn't understand what the language said. Their comment, the old man and the factious speak with forked tongues, and their speech is foreign to us. Yes, true. And that's probably what that symbolizes. The ink is almost invisible, but I could see the characters of the language because the skin was shiny and raised where the tattoo needle had made its markings. Judas was proud of this tattoo, and you'd be surprised what Judases are proud of, you know, their ability to do, and they always think that they can hide, but they can't. And that's probably one of the meanings of these revelations all coming together, you know. Judas was proud of his tattoo. That is the mark of the beast. You know, people are proud of having the mark of the beast, as we've studied before, spiritually, is not having the mind of Christ or the works of Christ. That is the forehead and the hand where the mark is, right? Having the works of the flesh in the hand and the mind of the flesh in the forehead. This is the mark of the beast. So Judas was proud of this tattoo, as you've seen many so-called Christians are proud of their rebellion against the Word of God. And was there at the booth to get another tattoo on his left upper shoulder. The old man was proud and showing me his previous work on Judas's back. Interesting. Well, and here's another revelation. I dreamed that I was standing in the living room of David's house. David here represents the man-child, I believe the David man-child. It was an old house. Well, the ancient church teachings and life is represented by this ancient house that shows up quite often. All of UBM, or local UBM, which is we've seen in our dreams, is like an individual who becomes a corporate body in dreams. An individual body becomes a larger local or a larger body in dreams. And so local UBM is a microcosm of larger UBM. All of local UBM were sitting around a living room on chairs and couches, resting, in other words, which is what we should be doing, resting in the Lord by faith. David was sitting in his blue recliner and Michael was standing in between us. David was very excited and told Michael that he had had a dream revelation in the night. I heard both of these terms used simultaneously when he spoke of when the man-child anointing was going to take place. Well, I know the rest of the dream, so I can get a pretty good picture of what's going on here. This is the man-child growing in us as individuals by obedience to the Word. This is why people get culled, you know, from the bride and from the man-child, because there's no obedience to the Word. They're a bad influence, right? Of course, Judas was that, and he was culled too, wasn't he? This anointing of the man-child born to the individual, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory, it comes below, but in the revelation, there is an attack by Judas to try to destroy it, which, of course, we've seen many times. Then David walked further back in the house into a room connected directly behind the living room where a couple of other brothers were still hanging around. This is a back room, so to speak. Judas was one of them. And he was talking to the factious leader. Well, much like ancient Judas went to the high priest, right? He was in collusion with the high priest. And this is one of several dreams where Judas was talking to the factious leaders in order. In another dream we received, there was a black dreadlocks factious leader who pushed away his fruit until it died in him. Yeah, you just keep resisting the Holy Spirit, then your fruit of Christ will die in you. And this is just the opposite happening to the body. Christ in them is coming, a man child. is in them and is coming. And Jesus said, he that doeth the will of my Father is my mother. That is one who brings forth Christ in them, right? And this dreadlocks guy had fallen into faction and was full of lust and adultery, which is a norm for faction. They always fall into lust and adultery. And from the dreams and visions, Judas was going down the same road. He was puffed up. You know, the devil puffed up the factious leadership before they left. They were all apostles, prophets, elders, Joshua's, a man-child, yes. This pride cuts them off from God's grace. And one claimed to be an elder, and then he was a prophet, and then before you know it, he was an apostle. He really graduated quickly. They all do that. They all claim these titles because the devil puffs them up so that they'll keep this sinful life. So back to the revelation here. David turned around and he looked back at me. And I believe me here is a type of the sanctified body or the bride. Still standing in the living room and motioned for me to come to him. So I went over to him and he said, sit down here. So I sat down on an ottoman in front of him and he knelt down in front of me and placed his hands on my abdomen and closed his eyes as if praying and willing something. And then in parenthesis they put an imparting of healing and of the coming of the personal man-child spoken of above, Christ in the body, right? So he was willing something for me, but his lips never moved. He just willed it, and it happened. Well, I want to say that I know that all of the reformers and all of the man-child reformers have this strong will in them from God to bring forth the fruit of Christ in the people. His hands became very warm, and I felt a healing take place inside of me. I knew something wonderful had happened to me too, but I wasn't sure what had happened. Well, let me say that the belly represents the mind of the flesh, whose God is their belly, you know. It represents the mind of the flesh, and this represents a healing for the mind by the mind of Christ, the Word of God. And in the following revelation, Judas was supposed to do the same for his own mind and thoughts, following the example that he was seeing in this. In this revelation of Christ coming in the body, in order to bring healing to the UBM body. But instead, lust took him over to have the UBM body for himself. Now, they all do that. Somebody falls out with you. It's quite normal. They go their own way. You don't see them no more. So, but not the faction, because this is a demon possession. They stand out there and chew on your heels. Constantly, because they want the body. Not just them, but the demons in them want to take down a body that is very dangerous to Satan's kingdom. That's why. So they're evangelizing to try to infect other people with their disease of faction. So David called Judas over to witness my healing and miracle and told him to place his hands where David's hands had been. And David said, feel this miracle. In other words, he's trying to show this Judas the miracle of Christ in you, the man-child manifesting in his body of people. But when Judas placed his hands on my abdomen, I saw a change come over him and lust in his eyes. This usually happens to them, both spiritual and physical, you know. And instead of doing what David had asked to confirm my healing for him, Judas began to put his hands elsewhere and began to seduce me. Well, this represents seducing by faction the UBM body or bride for himself. And I asked him with alarm and concern, "What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this." I felt helpless and weak to stop him. He continued and ended up defiling me. Well, this is what they do. And, of course, the defiled then, of course, leave the body because this is also a test for them. I mean, it's obvious to judge the fruit in the people that do this, you know. But, you know, God's gathering the tares together to bundle them, right, to burn them. So the factious leader was imparting his lusts, physical and spiritual, to sow his seed in the body through Judas. You remember Judas made an agreement with them, right? And on the natural side, the factious leaders, you know, left with heterosexual lust or bisexual lust, lusts of many different kinds, which God turned them over to for their sin of judging other people. This is what God normally does when a person judges other people. And in this case, slander and lies. It's even worse. He said, "I will destroy the slanderer." That's what he said. So they get turned over to sin till they get more and more corrupt, till they look more and more hypocritical. Have you noticed what's happening on the government side? How hypocritical the very left wing is, blaming everybody for everything that they have done. You think, duh, and it doesn't even sink in and they don't have any shame. That's the same demons. That's another reason we're getting trained in this. On the spiritual side, represents abusing the UBM body with words, which are seeds in the Bible, to bring forth evil fruit. And boy, I tell you, they bring forth evil fruit. In this revelation, the factious leader had spent a lot of time talking with Judas in the back room. Well, that's the problem. If you listen to these people, they're sowing a seed in your mind and in your heart. And it will blossom into the same kind of people that they are. That's why you want to be so careful to obey the scriptures. All Judases think that they can handle speaking to the factious spirits, but no one can disobey the word and the elders willfully and get away with it. Titus 3:10 and 11. A factious man, after a first and second admonition, which means you should be correcting him every time, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. And Romans 16:17 through 18, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and the occasions of stumbling." Look at that. Mark them. There's the mark on them. "Contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord and Christ, our Lord Christ, but their own belly." There it is. Their own belly. "And by their smooth and fair speech." Oh, they think they're so slick. But look, most spiritual people can see right through them. "They beguile," listen, the hearts of the innocent. So you see, innocent people get deceived by these people because they're not obeying the word. Now, when the elders stress these words to be obeyed, and these people rebel against the word, they're showing who they are, and they're fair bait for Judas, for the factious leaders who really brought forth Judas. Going on with the revelation, David was standing right there, but what was happening was hidden from him, so he didn't even know it was going on. But as you can see, we always get revelation from God as to who is who and what they do through the dreams, visions, and words from the Lord. So this is giving us everything we need to do to deal with Judas's at the right time. We do know that Jesus knew Judas at the beginning. He knew he was a Judas. And it's been so with us, too. We've gotten revelations, you know, years ahead of time of who was going to be a Judas. And but we always give people the chance. We don't judge them, you know, on a dream or thing. We give them a chance, and we watch them, and I got to tell you, folks, the dreams are right. They've been right from the beginning. But when faction comes on a person, the first thing they say is, "Oh, I don't believe dreams. We ain't supposed to believe dreams." Blah, 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 blah. But that's because they get pegged every time, you know. So, we always get revelation from God as to who is who. And these dreams, visions, words from the Lord, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, show us who they are. And who is in danger of going in faction. There, let me say this. Nobody has left in faction that we didn't get dreams on. No Judas has showed up that we didn't get dreams on. That's astounding. And this has happened since 2011, since we started our training in 2011. We had some happening before that, but it was a different nature. The guy that started the one in 2011, we got that a year before. Got his name, what he was doing, and what he caused a year before. And it turned out to be true. Yeah, that's... And going back to the revelation here, after this I was really sad, and I felt dirty and defiled. Yep. I felt like maybe I didn't belong in David's house, and I needed to get out and just take a walk. Well, this happens to everybody when faction attacks them. They feel like, I got to get out of here. You know, that's what faction is. That's the nature of faction. And since she was molested by this factious guy, then she immediately got this. Well, this is not new to us. Seducing faction to cause others to be dissatisfied and leave the house. This is just when factious spirits enter people and they feel they need to go away or leave the body. And they always gravitate towards something that is inferior, totally inferior. And this is the very meaning of faction. The devil wants to separate the lambs from the flock so he can devour them, right? So the revelation goes on. I went down the street along the side of a highway that had freshly paved blacktop and two freshly painted yellow lines down the center. Well, you know those yellow lines. They're the law. They're the law about the road. And this is a warning not to cross the line, to break God's law, to get in the other guy's lane. You know? It was raining, but I wasn't getting wet. Well, that lets you know this is the spiritual rain. This is the spiritual rain that brings that anointed man child, you know? It's the anointing of the Spirit, the anointing of the Word, etc. I heard a loud motorcycle coming up fast from behind me. I turned to look, and it was an off-duty police officer. In other words, somebody who is trained to enforce the law, in this case, of God. He was on his personal black motorcycle, you know, darkness, and he had a bright yellow reflective rain suit on with a yellow helmet. And, of course, this is to reject that spiritual rain of the Spirit of God. And that's what they do. They reject it. People around them are so happy in it, but they reject it. He was speeding for no reason on his own personal time, which is, of course, illegal. He was breaking God's law, right? And lost control of the bike. As they do, God makes sure of that. He laid it down and he went flying, and his body hit a gray meaning death, minivan that had also spun out in the center of the road. They got across the line too. He hit the pavement and rolled several times like a rag doll. I know what it means, a rag doll. I remember a man, he was going to break Evel Knievel's record, and he landed in the windshield of one of the cars that he was jumping, and he flopped around like a rag doll, and he was broken all over his body. He never recovered. So anyway, this speaks about those who are trained to enforce the law of God who break it themselves and will meet with judgment. It always happens, always. People began to gather around his body, and I turned and began walking the other way, back to David's. Learned a lesson. Back to David's house. And I thought to myself, he's dead, but he was a menace to everyone. Well, that's connected to the statement that we heard earlier about the UBM body, himself being a danger to the body and to himself. This is true. People will kill themselves. They will commit suicide, spiritual and physical, by the way, suicide. I know a bunch of people who were deceived into the faction that are dead now. I mean physically dead. All of them are spiritually dead. And everything's taken out of their mind, as they've complained to me before. David, everything you taught us is gone from our mind. It's just not there. I don't remember any of it. I said, yep, that's part of the judgment. That's what the birds do. They come and steal the seed, as the Lord said, right? I asked for a random word by faith for Judas and what he did in the dream, and my finger landed on the word, aha! You know, Psalm 35, 25, in context 17 through 26. Lord, how long wilt thou look on, rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions? You know, the big lion is Satan, of course, and all the little lions that God ends up pulling the teeth out of. They're following the big lion. I will give thee thanks in the great assembly. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that say that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful words. Yep, that's them. Against them that are quiet in the land. Yes, resting on the couches. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me. They said, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. But let me make a note here. The faction never obey Matthew 8 and 18 and 15, which commands by Jesus for you to go to the person and you and him alone see if this is correct. This is to see if the factious person who told you that lie was truthful, but they don't do it because as soon as the demon enters in, he says, don't talk to David. That's what they do. Don't talk to David. Talk about David. Instead, they go straight to the body, which is two steps later. They disobey the word of God, like all demons do. Then they spread slander, which God said he would destroy. Right? Verse 22, thou hast seen it, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to justice due unto me, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their heart, aha. Yeah. So would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be put to shame and confounded together that rejoice at my hurt. Amen. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor. As the Bible says, an everlasting shame that magnify themselves against me. And it will be so because it's written in the Word. And I asked for a word by faith at random concerning the police officer and him having an accident, and my finger landed on mourn and weep in James 4 and 9. The context was 8 through 12. And my note was, of course, that those who are supposed to keep the law break it, and they will be judged. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. In other words, be grieved with your sin. I want to tell you, when they're in this for a short period of time, many of them have no conscience, none. You cannot correct them with the word. Even if they lost a memory of all the word that you taught them, makes no difference. When you lay it out in front of them, when they're in this state, they have no conscience. It does not move them at all. So, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you. Speak not one against another, brethren, as they do constantly. He that speaketh against a brother or judgeth his brother speaketh against the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. One only is the lawgiver and the judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who art thou that judgest thy neighbor? Well, does this sound like what's happening in the House with them judging Trump with all their opinions? No evidence whatsoever. I mean, this guy's got to be the cleanest guy out there. For goodness sake, they've examined him looking for a problem. That's not legal. Looking for a problem. And they can't find anything but other people like them who have an opinion. Who hate him because they got demons in themselves, you know. Hey, that's just parallel to the man-child, like the Lord told us. So what we see here, one who was trained to obey the law, broke it, and died. Factious people have told me that everything that they learned from me was gone from their mind. And as Jesus explained, the seed bore no fruit, and the birds, which were demons, came and devoured it. And all the factious quit listening to the teachings, and they turned to inferior teachings, and they have to come against all your teachings to prove that you're wrong. So therefore, all of the teachings that they had that were good are gone, and they're evil to them, and they call evil good and good evil. So, and they try to turn others to this inferior stuff by seduction. People would not be deceived by this. if it wasn't for the demons that are behind it, that are doing it, actually doing it and doing the speaking. Sit down and listen to demons and see how long you last. Here's another dream. I dreamed that I was in a large, well-lit room with white walls. David and the UBM brethren were all there. I was viewing everything in the spirit. I saw myself over to my right, talking to one of the brothers, and suddenly I was inside my body as Judas came up from behind me and surprised me as he began talking to me and simultaneously began stripping off my clothing by tearing it in wide strips away from my body. I looked down at the clothing that he was stripping away, and it was some sort of white linen robe that laid in layers on me. That's the righteous acts of the saints. Now, faction removes the white clothing or works of the righteous as they become more and more reprobate. And I asked him, "Why are you doing this to me, Judas?" And he answered to the effect of, "Because this is the treatment you deserve." He was pleasant and smiling the entire time. Yes, they do this. They'll smile at you, you know, while they've got all kinds of devious plans in their heart. The hatred of the factious hides behind guile. Proverbs 26:26. Though his hatred covereth itself with guile or deception, his wickedness shall be openly showed before the assembly. Yes, it will. And all this revelations about Judas is openly showing who they are and what they do and what they think and of their deception. I then looked around to all my brethren in the room and wondered why no one else was seeing what was happening or why no one was coming to my aid. David also seemed unaware of what was happening. Because it happens in the unseen spirit realm. It's not out in the open. Judas's job is to get those out of the body, especially of the bride, who disobey the word because they are leavened. And we always know the Judas, just like Jesus did. We always know that because God tells us, just like he told Jesus. And they are known by their fruit, even when they smile. Yeah. After Judas had completely stripped me, he grabbed at my chest with violence from behind me and then violated me with his left hand, well, representing the goats who are on the left, right? And their works, the hand is works, to sow their evil seed in the body. They have a very evangelistic demon that desires to pervert as many as possible. As in nature, the seed is in the fruit and is demonically inspired in this case. All right. He then came around in front of me and dismembered me by tearing my arms and legs off my body with brute strength. At this point, I was outside of my body again, watching the dismemberment. Well, that's what faction causes, is dismemberment from the body. Dismemberment from the body is a fate worse than physical death. I mean, you've been separated from, you have been kicked out of the body of Christ here. And that's because if you listen to these people, that seed that they sow, it will destroy you. It's very dangerous. God is separating now. He's separating the bodies that he has chosen, the man-child body, the bride body, and the body of Christ. This is a sin that God sees as murder, as we've seen in different dreams and visions. I felt much pain in my heart while this was happening, but no physical pain. Well, it's painful, they put. It's painful to our hearts when someone falls into faction. It's painful if we fall into faction. We want to see everyone with us attain to the bride, so it bothers everybody. Nor did I notice any blood loss. This is not a physical murder, but a spiritual murder, a murder of the soul, like faction does. Then physical curses follow those who fall. I felt greatly disturbed by this dream upon awakening and wondered why. I asked for a word for Judas, and my finger landed on persecute. In Psalm 119, 150, this is the RSV they used. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from thy law. There it is, the law breakers, right? I asked for a word by faith at random for why Judas would do this, and I landed on Proverbs 13 and 1, 1 through 3 in context. A wise son heeds his father's instruction. See, everybody that gets captured, they get captured by these demons because of this right here. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. And a fool hates correction, by the way. That's another verse. And it's true. They can't take correction. Everybody I have seen exploded when they were caught in their sins, corrected, including the last factious leader, got caught trying to seduce a married woman. We stopped him, and he got mad, exploded, and went out and tore down the website and a bunch of other really nasty, dirty things. So, and you will one day know who these people are, because the Lord said that he's going to reveal it. So Judas chose to ignore all the instructions from our Heavenly Father. He chose to side with Satan, who ultimately possessed him. Right? You remember? Okay. And it goes on, verse 2. From the fruit of their lips, people enjoy good things, but the unfaithful have an appetite for violence. Yes, they do. And those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Another dream. I was going to work for the ministry driving a white bus that would take the children to the UBM school. My co-worker came up to me and said, "Can you pray for my son Cole?" And then they put in parentheses, meaning swarthy, coal black, charcoal, Cole, and Judas are the same person. Okay, yes. This is just another parable to point out Judas. And because this is parallel to the part of the dream which we're going to share with you, Judas being suicidal after losing his mother. Yes. I said, "Sure." She went on to tell me that Cole had lost his son and his grandmother, who were everything to him, and that he was suicidal. Well, now remember this. He lost a grandmother and he lost a son. Okay, let's see. I told her that I'd definitely pray for him. And they put, quite correctly, losing your grandmother represents losing the original church teachings, and losing your son represents losing your fruit. Yes. And after this, I was driving over to where the UBM bus was so I could begin my bus route picking up the children for school. And on my way, I received a call on my cell phone from a woman who said in an urgent tone, "You need to pray for Judas. He's lost his dad, and now mother all within a short period of time. He feels he's lost everything, and he has tried to commit suicide. Now, you know Judas did commit suicide, right? So on the spiritual side of this, Judas lost his father, that is Jesus in the man child, and his mother, the church. Physical signs can indicate spiritual happenings. I'll just say that as I go on. And they have a note here. This represents giving up the life of Christ through the trials, temptations, weariness, discouragement, and disappointment. And my thought was, of course, that both Judas and Absalom committed suicide because God turned them over to this spirit for their sin. You think a person would say, I'll never commit suicide. You don't know what you're going to do when you're possessed. You do not know. You will do evil things that you would have never done before. And the revelation goes on. As we were speaking, I passed Judas on the road and saw that he had lost both legs because of a deliberate car accident from a spirit of suicide. You know, our vehicle is our body. And he was no longer able to walk with the Lord. At this time, this person said, I saw the accident in a vision of Judas rolling his vehicle. Yes, rolling his vehicle. Our vehicle, of course, is our body. I don't know if you've seen cars roll, but rolling a vehicle totals it usually. This is like suicide. Same thing. It was strange, though, because it didn't look like Judas. He was a black man, in other words, walking in darkness, with a shaved head, meaning, according to 1 Corinthians 11, no submission to the Lord. And as I passed by him, he was hanging onto a metal electric pole for dear life. He was being blown sideways by an extremely strong storm with fierce winds. And, of course, this sounds a lot like being blown about by every wind of false doctrine and spirit, right? Yeah. And then they said, Cole and Judas are the same person in this revelation, and the storm is upon him. So, here's another dream. I believe, representing the sanctified body, or the bride, dreamed that three brothers, who were all vying for my attention and affections, and I believe that this person represents the UBM body. One was Joseph from the Bible, and he was the one I loved with all my heart. He was gentle in spirit and kind. And they said he represents Jesus, the man child. Joseph and Jesus were both betrayed and wounded by their Judas brothers, right? Yes. He wore a white linen shirt that was bound up with a white linen girdle because he was working very hard in the house. He wasn't wearing a shirt. His upper body was buff and tan. He had beautiful, dark, curly hair that reached to his shoulders, and it was anointed with oil. His upper body was rubbed down with the same oil as in Song of Solomon 5:11, context 10 through 16. Yep, the description is good. One was Judas. And he was dressed in jeans and a grayish blue T-shirt. Gray is death, right? He was showing off his hunting knife that he was very proud of. It had a polished wooden handle and a 6-inch metal blade, like a sword in the Bible. This represents words, right? 6 is the number of man, they said. Edom was a hunter. He valued this above his birthright. Yes, he did. And, of course, those in the church who value that kind of a lifestyle and that kind of wickedness against others, they are selling their birthright just like Edom did. And sought repentance in Hebrews, but couldn't get it. Ezekiel 13 and 18, will you hunt the souls of my people and save souls alive for yourselves? That's what they do. They have us drive to go and destroy people. He began to do tricks with it and to toss it up into the air a little, enough to catch it again by the handle. And the note was that they put trickery, subtle seduction, veiled threat. The last brother liked me more than he loved me, and I considered him a good friend, representing a less than passionate love for the bride body. Well, let me say that this represents a person who is in danger of faction. We have seen loving people get this way quickly when infected by faction. They lose a love for the body. They don't have a biblical interest in protecting the body or themselves or their families. They destroy their families, and they don't act like nothing happened, and they destroy their families. And sometimes God takes people away from them, takes them out of this life because he doesn't want them to go through the things that they're offering. And they go on to say, these are in danger of losing their position in the house. I was concerned that Judas had a hunting knife in the house, and when I voiced my concerns to him, he realized that I wasn't impressed with what he considered his talent and prized possession was. I believe this represents the body not being impressed with the seducing words. He became angry and jealous and resentful towards me when he realized that I loved Joseph more. He felt there was no hope for him to gain my approval or affection. And then in parenthesis, the spirit of rejection and the fear of rejection. Yes, it does do that. Most of the Judases and many of the faction started out with those spirits right there. You want to get rid of them, go to our site. You know, study it. The rejection and its fear, right? He began twirling the knife between his fingers, contemplating on what he would do, and then raised it up and stabbed Joseph in a violent downward motion into his right shoulder. Then he pulled the knife out, wiping the blood off of the blade, and ran out of the house, taking the other brother with him. So wiping the blood away represents rejecting his salvation. And the weaker in spirit are in danger of being swept away in his betrayal and factious attempt to destroy the man, child, and UBM. A story repeated many times in history is, as we've seen, many man-childs in the Bible and many Judases. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. History just repeats on larger scales, as the Lord told me many, many years ago. And so that's why we're getting this revelation of Judas here. You know, and it's obviously paralleling history. And it will happen through the tribulation period too, folks. I'm telling you, if you get them identified by what we're saying here, good. You know, that can be something that can save you, you know. Joseph was holding his shoulder, wincing in pain, but never cried out. And they said Jesus was humble and meek while being persecuted and tried for his crucifixion and never said a word in his defense. Matthew 25:40 says, and The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me. So they're doing it to Jesus, and he knows it. They crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. I put my hand on his shoulder and asked if he was okay. I was surprised that he bled only a little watery blood. And then they said, Jesus also bled blood mixed with water when they pierced his side. And my thought was the man-child's crucifixion at the hands of the factious leaders and their Judas is being seen again, and it will be seen again. And the M.O. of these people is important for us to understand so that we can help other people and so that we ourselves won't fall into their traps. This is a test to see who is in what body and who is not. And he didn't reply. So I began to intercede for the stab wound to be healed. And in parenthesis, they put meaning he was dead like Jesus was when they pierced him. Question, will this trial with Judas be the end of the faction and crucifixion of the man-child? In my opinion, yes, it will. And what you're seeing going on in the government is parallel. We're coming to declassification. It's all going to come out in the open. They're starting to lock people up. That's what we've heard. I asked for a true word for Judas by faith at random, and my finger was on the phrase, condemn him to death. How powerful is that, you know? And that's in Mark 10:33-34, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him unto the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall spit upon him, and shall scourge him, and shall kill him, and after 3 days he shall rise again. And this is not only referring to the betrayal of Jesus, the man-child, and our modern man-child, but also Judas's reprobation. Because Judas was also condemned to death by the Father at the same time as Jesus was condemned by the wicked to be crucified. Yes. Boy. The Lord has it all figured out, don't he? I knew Joseph was now laying in a white domed tent, and I had to be careful because there was a lone wolf patrolling the area. His fur was dingy and yellowed. A wolf in the Bible is a false leader who is, in this case, is unclean and dirtied by sin. There was a small, skinny cheetah whose coat was bleached and it had mange. Its ears were so shriveled that you could barely distinguish them. Well, Judas lost his ability to hear God or the righteous, and all this because he refused to eat the good spiritual food that his spiritual father was giving to him, and he became skinny like a cheetah. He was the wolf's lackey. That's right. The Judases don't know that, but they are. And would alert the wolf by screaming like a human girl to alert the wolf whenever he saw one of the brethren from the right side, representing Judas reporting to the factious leaders as Jesus is in the Jesus crucifixion story, right? That's right. Then the wolf would get up and come after us, but he never got any of us. That sounds like the end. It sounds like you've come to the end and you ain't getting no more, period. Yes, you know, the beast destroyed the Pharisees after Judas committed suicide. All right? Yes. I was able to make it over to the tent. It was only about 4.5 feet high at the center, so I ducked inside and found Joseph's body laying on his right side on a woven mat to the right side of the tent entrance. It was like the burial tomb, the burial in the tomb of Jesus. I began to sponge off his upper body and dress it with gauze. I couldn't tell if he was dead or alive. It seemed he was dead, but I was hopeful that he was still alive. Well, of course, we know that this death is a death to self, right? It's not going to be a physical death, that they won't be able to accomplish that. The man-child has a work to do on this earth, right? Jesus is coming, and he has a work to do on this earth, and he has chosen a body to do it through, and it's going to happen. And then they wrote, the complete death and resurrection of the man-child will happen as a result of this last faction. And then I woke up. So true. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you've shown us today. We ask, Lord, that the brethren will be able to understand and remember the attributes of a Judas. And, of course, the Pharisaical leaders, too. All this is going to be with us to the end. And people need to understand these things. And thank you for this these parables, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much, saints, for being with us. And Father, please bless Michael as he comes to share with the brethren too. Thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. Good night.